Thanks for joining us for the podcast of the Campbelltown Anglican Churches.
Verse 13 through to chapter 15, verse 13. Romans chapter 14, starting at verse 13. Therefore, let us stop passing judgment on one another. Instead, make up your mind not to put any stumbling block or obstacle in the way of a brother or sister. I am convinced, being fully persuaded in the Lord Jesus, that nothing is unclean in itself. But if anyone regards something as unclean, then for that person it is unclean. If your brother or sister is distressed because of what you eat, you are no longer acting in love. Do not, by your eating, destroy someone for whom Christ died. Therefore, do not let what you know is good be spoken of as evil. For the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, but of righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. Because anyone who serves Christ in this way is pleasing to God and receives human approval. Let us therefore make every effort to do what leads to peace and to mutual edification. Do not destroy the work of God for the sake of food. All food is clean, but it is wrong for a person to eat anything that causes someone else to stumble. It is better not to eat meat or drink wine or to do anything else that will cause your brother or sister to fall. So whatever you believe about these things, keep between yourself and God. Blessed is the one who does not condemn himself by what he approves. But whoever has doubts is condemned if they eat, because their eating is not from faith. And everything that does not come from faith is sin. We who are strong ought to bear with the failings of the weak and not to please ourselves. Each of us should please our neighbours for their good, to build them up. For even Christ did not please himself, but as it is written, the insults of those who insult you have fallen on me. For everything that was written in the past was written to teach us, so that through the endurance taught in the scriptures, and the encouragement they provide, we might have hope. May the God who gives endurance and encouragement give you the same attitude of mind toward each other that Christ Jesus had, so that with one mind and one voice you may glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Accept one another then, just as Christ accepted you, in order to bring praise to God. For I tell you that Christ has become a servant of the Jews on behalf of God's truth, so that the promises made to the patriarchs might be confirmed and, moreover, that the Gentiles might glorify God for his mercy. As it is written, therefore I will praise you among the Gentiles. I will sing the praises of your name. Again it says, rejoice, you Gentiles, with his people. And again, praise the Lord, all you Gentiles, let all the peoples extol him. And again Isaiah says, the root of Jesse will spring up, one who will arise to rule over the nations. In him the Gentiles will hope. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit.
Alrighty, good evening everyone. Is that coming out okay there, Connor? Excellent, mate. I'm going to pray for us and then we'll get stuck into the passage today. We're going to spend all of our time in the passage in Romans, so keep that open. Let me pray. Lord and God, we thank you so much for your word. We pray tonight that we will be keen listeners to you, that we will be people who will hear and understand what you have to teach us, and that we'll be people who will put it into practice in the way that we love and care for one another. Amen. Friends, I was born in 1984. I really started listening to music in the 90s, which is where the grunge era kind of started. And there are most generations of music have kind of got one or two songs that really stand out as kind of the anthem for that generation. So when I started listening to music, It was grunge, something like Nirvana, Smells Like Teen Spirit. That's the song that kind of iconifies that moment, okay? But for today, I want us to take us back 10 years before that, when I was two, okay? The 80s, okay? What was going on with music then? Well, that was the punk era, guys. That was where punk was really happening. There's a few people who are about 10 years older than me nodding away there. And there's a couple of songs that really define that moment and that era. In 1986, I reckon the one that's quintessential to it, 1986, it was the Beastie Boys doing their kind of punk, semi-rap kind of thing that laid down a single that is sort of instantly recognisable, even for Gen, whatever you guys are now. I've got a clip of it here, and I think you'll pick it.
Hey! Fire Ray!
We'll cut it there because it's not great. But I love that we have Estelle is sitting there rocking out and going, yes, that's my time and my place. Sharon over here, she was like, yeah, I remember it. Did you have a mohawk or did you just... No, never did? No. That's right. But that was the era. That was the 80s, okay? It was a wild time. And the Beastie Boys, they were a pretty wild band. That was the single, 1986, they released it. They were performing it in a concert in Liverpool in England. And they sung this song, and it basically produced a full-scale riot through the city, like tens of thousands of dollars of damage, which in the 80s is like enough to buy a house kind of thing. So like think billions of dollars these days kind of thing, okay? Like that's what we're talking about. Two of the band members got arrested and the other one somehow ended up on TV giving an interview talking about this riot. The guy who was in the interview was a guy, Mikey Diamonds, and he basically was saying, look, you've got to fight for your freedoms to live how you want to live. Ain't no one able to tell you how to live. If you want it, you got to take it. And when you get it, you got to keep fighting to keep it. And then he was shirtless. He just kind of went, woo, and then kind of ran back into the crowd. It was the 80s. It was a wild time. That's how it rolled, okay? But I think if I fast forward to 2023, and by the way, I cleaned that up substantially in terms of what his interview actually said, okay? Fast forward to 2023, I think these words still resonate. You got to fight for your right, and you can insert whatever you like at the end of that. Insert whatever your heart desires into that moment. It's actually still the story of our modern world. You fight for your right to your liberties. And when you get them, you hang on to them as tightly as you possibly can. And if someone dares challenge any of your hard-fought liberties, what do? You get loud, just like a bunch of teenage punk rioters in Northern England. That's what you do. And yet, I'm going to say, our passage this evening, we see a different way, a radically different way, so much more radical than punk ever was. Because for the Christian, in our relationships with one another, Jesus calls us to do something totally different. Look with me from verse 13. We'll see it right there in verse 13 to 15, where it says, therefore, let us stop passing judgment on one another. Instead, make up your mind not to put any stumbling block or obstacle in the way of a brother or sister. I am convinced, being fully persuaded in the Lord Jesus, that nothing is unclean in itself. But if anyone regards something as unclean, then for that person it is unclean. If your brother or sister is distressed because of what you eat, you are no longer acting in love. Do not, by your eating, destroy someone for whom Christ died. What's the principle that's at work here? Give up your freedoms. Give up your liberties for the sake of your brothers and sisters in Christ. Paul uses the example of food here. And he says it there in verse 14. He's fully persuaded that it is fine for Christians to eat any kind of food. But for some Christians,
because of their heritage or their culture or their circumstances. This might mean that some kinds of food are actually inappropriate for them to eat because of reasons of conscience. Jason made an excellent example last week of someone who perhaps comes to faith from a Muslim background. They might take issue with eating meat that was halal. Now, we know, it says it right here, a Christian can eat anything. But for this person, they might, as they seek to leave their old ways behind, it might be a matter of their conscience saying, no, I can't eat meat which is prepared in this way. And so for them, it may be inappropriate for them, and so it might cause them to think that it would be sinful for them to eat meat that was prepared in this way. And so in that circumstance, you're throwing a barbecue, you're having this person over, what would be appropriate for you to do? Very simple. Don't serve or eat food that would be halal in front of them. Love your brother or sister in Christ. Care enough for them not to be a stumbling block, to cause them to trip up. Don't care for your freedoms and liberties more than you care for your brothers and sisters in Christ around you. In fact, this passage says, give up those freedoms. Give them up in order to honour your brother and sister in Christ. Now, friends, I want to tell you, that's a radical position to take. It's taking the position of humbling yourself. Even when you are completely 100% in the right, you're humbling yourself for the sake of loving those people for whom Christ died. And it is a principle which grasps more completely what it is to live for Christ. It continues in verse 17. For the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating or drinking, but of righteousness, peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. Because anyone who serves Christ in this way is pleasing to God and receives human approval. You see, being part of Jesus' kingdom is not about our stance on things, our stance on eating, our stance on drinking, our stance on any disputable matter. Being part of Jesus' kingdom is about Jesus. It's about his righteousness. It's about his righteousness which brings about peace and joy that is expressed in our relationships within the body of Christ. And so it makes sense for us to then prioritize these things in the way that we relate with one another. So we could choose, you know what, I have the freedoms to eat what I want when I want it, and so what I'm going to do is I'm going to eat this, even though it might cause division, or I can choose to actually limit myself, to express peace to my brother. I can go, no, I like this thing and it brings me great joy, so I'm going to be doing this my way. Or instead I can choose to bring joy to my brother and sister in Christ by limiting myself so that we can express unity together. And friends, I want to stop and apply here because there are so many different disputable matters that can arise. You can have disputes on how you do things within church, what kind of liturgy we might use, where you might go to church. Do you meet in a hall or do you meet in a church building? You can have disputes on what kind of songs you sing, how many songs you sing, how many choruses you do or how many bridges you do in various songs. What key you sing the thing in. Like, there are so many things that we could go down in just in terms of how things are done within church. There are disputable matters on how we live as Christians. You might ask questions, do I work full-time in certain things or do I actually work part-time? Is that okay? If you're a parent, do you send children to a private school, a private Christian school, or do you do the public? There are all these kind of matters. Do you buy a house or do you rent? These are all kind of issues that you will have. And in a congregation, even of this size, there will be people who will be on different sides of the fence on every single one of those. There are disputable matters, and how we engage in those matters. Now, not all of them require us to give up our rights for the sake of the other. I grew up with Christian parents. My mum is she's a rock-solid Christian even now. But one of my mum's absolute bugbears, one of her things that she always just kind of had a bit of a bee in her bonnet about when she was younger, is that she was adamant that it would be wrong for her to return to work before us kids were in school. That was just one of the things that she had thought about, and was for her, she was just like, that would be wrong. This came from her convictions about motherhood, from the way that she read scripture, her circumstances, and her culture. Our next door neighbour, Sharon, was my Sunday school teacher. She and her husband worked full time, and their son, Eric, went to daycare. This reflected her reading of scripture, her circumstances, convictions, and culture. Now, there was disagreement between Mum and Sharon. I'm going to say strong disagreement about a disputable matter. But this isn't the kind of matter where one side needs to give up their rights as the stronger sister in that circumstance. But that doesn't mean that this passage doesn't apply. You see, this passage still speaks into these kind of disagreements too. Because Sharon and my mum, they were really, really good at doing verse 13. Disagreeing without judgment. They were really, really good at doing verse 15. I'm going to say strong disagreement at points, but expressing peace and joy as sisters in Christ who simply loved one another deeply. See, I was actually really grateful to be able to see this kind of dynamic modeled to me clearly as a kid and as a teenager, where they disagreed on a disputable matter, and yet the way that they interacted with each other was one of love and unity and grace and peace. It was super clear to me that their joy was in serving and pleasing Christ, and they took great joy in doing that together. But there are also some matters that do require that one party act as the stronger brother or sister in giving up their rights for the sake of a weaker brother or sister. Paul goes back to the case of food in verse 19. In Rome, this was a big deal. Jewish and Roman Christians were really struggling with this moment. You see it in verse 19, "Let us therefore make every effort to do what leads to peace and to mutual edification. Do not destroy the work of God for the sake of food." Pause there. Those are strong words. Do not destroy the work of God for the sake of food. Let's keep reading. "All food is clean, but it is wrong for a person to eat anything that causes someone else to stumble. It is better not to eat meat or drink wine, or do anything else that will cause your brother or sister to fall." Friends, you are free to eat whatever as a Christian, but do not destroy the conscience of a brother or sister in Christ simply because you want to eat something. That would be awful. Don't cause their conscience to be seared simply because you have particular preferences and you feel like you have a right to them. The body of Christ is better off when we are willing to restrict ourselves for their sake, rather than expressing our own personal freedoms. And this is a very powerful and challenging way of thinking. But you might ask, is there limits to this? Do I have to stop enjoying things that I am free to do in the Bible, like eating bacon, simply because I might run into a formerly Jewish brother or sister in Christ who might think that that is sinful? And Paul addresses this in verse 22 with a really simple principle. In private, exercise your freedoms and enjoy them. In public engagement with brothers and sisters in Christ, engage in grace. In private, you can do as your conscience allows you to do around all of these disputable matters. Keeping on the food-related things that I mentioned here, in private, you can have a glass of wine or a beer so long as alcohol is not an issue for you. If it is an issue for you, I would encourage restraint. In private, you can enjoy bacon or any other pig-based meat so long as that is not an issue for you. But in public, perhaps you refrain from drinking alcohol if you are meeting with someone who struggles with alcoholism. You are better off to order a lemon, lime and bitters than to cause them to struggle. In public, if you are going out for food with someone for whom eating a pig-based meal might cause them to stumble, order a salad. Or order something else, and if you have to, order a salad, I guess. Okay? You are better off eating a salad than causing your brother or sister to stumble, aren't you? Friends, how we relate to each other over disputable matters, well, it actually really matters. We need to be willing to go so far as to limit ourselves in our public liberties in order that we might love our brothers and sisters in Christ. But perhaps you've been hearing this and you kind of go, you might ask why. Why would I do that? Why would I restrict myself in that kind of way? It's quite a radical way of doing things. Why would I give up my hard-fought liberties in order to serve others? Well, the answer that we get in chapter 15 is simply because this is the way of Jesus. And we see it there, reading from verse 2. Each of us should please our neighbour for their good to build them up. For even Christ did not please himself, but, as it is written, the insult of those who insult you has fallen on me. For everything that was written in the past was written to teach us, so that through the endurance taught in the Scriptures and the encouragement that they provide, we might have hope. May the God who gives endurance and encouragement give you the same attitude of mind towards each other that Christ Jesus had, so that with one mind and one voice you may glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Friends, why do we seek the good of others ahead of ourselves? It's because that's what Jesus did. Though Jesus was God, and just pause for a moment, what are the rights that Jesus has as God? Everything. What are the freedoms that he has as God? Everything. Though Jesus was God, and part of the Trinity, perfectly content in who he was and where he was, what did Jesus do? He lowered himself and became a human. Not to please himself, not out of some kind of trip that would make him feel good about himself, but because he cares for us, a stuck, sinful people. And yet that's not where he stops. Jesus would then give all of that up to face the punishment of God as he hung on the cross, facing the wrath of God for us. Friends, this is the pattern of Jesus. He humbles himself. He gives up his rights. He gives up his freedoms for the sake of those who would trust in him. And friends, this is the pattern we see in Scripture which Christ commends for us to follow. We too are called to be humble, to give up our rights and liberties, because that's the pattern of our Lord. This is his attitude, this is his mindset, and so we glorify God when we make it our attitude and our mindset. But Paul also makes the bigger picture about what Christ has achieved through his humility. Because in his humility, in what Christ has done on the cross, he has brought together two groups of people that are so vastly different to each other, Jew and Gentile. We see it in verse 7. Accept one another then, just as Christ accepted you, in order to bring praise to God. For I tell you that Christ has become servant of the Jews on behalf of God's truth, so that the promises made to the patriarchs might be confirmed, and, moreover, that the Gentiles might glorify God in his mercy. Now, that's a whopper of a sentence. Let's unpack that just a little bit here. Christ became a servant so that the promise of the patriarchs, that's the promises to the Old Testament Jews, to Abraham and Isaac, to King David, to the promises made to the Israelites, might be confirmed, that he might fulfill them, not just for the Jews. He confirms these promises and fulfill these promises so that also the Gentiles might be brought in and glorify God as God shows them mercy. So what Jesus does is he brings in the Jews and he brings in the Gentiles in all of their differences to make them to be one people. Now, when you bring together two groups that are really different to each other, it's very easy for divisions to start occurring, isn't it? It's really easy for that kind of thing to happen. How is he going to bring this really diverse group of people together in unity? Well, that happens as we stand together and serve the other like Christ does. As we lower ourselves, as we humble ourselves in order to serve, that is how we express unity in Christ. We look to each other's interests and not to our own. And friends, this is how we continue to do things in church. Have a good look around, legitimately. You can turn. It's okay. You're allowed to do that right now. This is a group of people that would perhaps not naturally happen to hang and come together. And yet God has brought us together. United in Christ, saved by him, and yet really, really different to each other. How are we going to stay united? Well, it's by caring for each other more than we care for ourselves. It's putting one another first and putting ourselves, well, down the chain. And so, friends, the question that we should ask is this: is this the attitude of our hearts? Are we looking to follow the example of Jesus here, or are we simply following the pattern of our world? The world says, you got to fight for your right and finish the sentence. And friends, the pattern of our world sounds liberating. It really does. We fight for our rights to be enforced. We seek to build ourselves up in our superior understanding of things. We fight for our preference to be honoured by other people. But what that worldview produces, ultimately, is selfishness and self-focus. What it produces is factionalism and disunity. That's what that worldview creates. Instead, in this chapter, Christ offers us a powerful alternative, though it sounds stifling to start, doesn't it? We look to give up our rights and our preferences, and instead we seek to love our brothers and sisters in Christ first. We strive to humble ourselves and we strive to elevate others. We look to stand together by serving each other, by being willing to give up our rights and liberties for one another's sake. It sounds stifling, but what are the results? The results are that God brings together this diverse group to be united in Christ. That in this group and in this church, you experience joy as you are served and served by others and you mutually serve them. In this church, you experience peace as you in your differences are still brought together under Christ and together as brothers and sisters that genuinely love one another. And this all comes as we trust Christ and we seek to follow him. Friends, I'm going to pray that we might do exactly that. Our Lord and God, you are incredible in what you have done in and through Christ. Thank you so much that salvation comes through Jesus' death on the cross for all who trust in him. Lord, help us to be people who in our differences remain united in you. Help us to be people who are willing to give up our rights and our liberties for the sake of our brothers and sisters in Christ. Help us to be humble. And Lord, help us to enjoy and to take great joy in the unity which you bring through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Tonight we have been reminded how easy it is for us to not love our neighbour well. We can so often get caught up in...
Thanks for joining us for this sermon podcast. Check out more of our resources at campbelltownanglican.org or come visit us at church sometime.